So this is sort of like a podcast that's not in the normal sober podcast series. This is like, I don't know, an outtake? What would you call this? A tangent? It's a sidebar. Can we just step aside for a second and have a conversation? And I'm using voice to have the conversation rather than writing something. I don't even really know why, except that I feel maybe that I can communicate better like this. Here's how this goes. I have been toying with the idea of changing how I'm doing the podcasts, and it makes sense for me to ask people who regularly listen to the podcasts what kinds of changes I can make going forward. And maybe you know me well enough to know that usually what I do is I make a decision, I float it, and then people respond how they respond. This time what I want to do is I actually want to float an idea and check responses first. And I don't normally do that, mostly because I'm too impulsive and I just want to get something going. And so I'm like so impulsive that I can't stop long enough to ask somebody what they think. I just go with gut reflexes. And I guess I have a gut reflex about this, but what I'm about to present to you, here's how it goes. When I listen to podcasts, they are free and they are on iTunes. And you can subscribe through iTunes or Stitcher or another app on your phone. And I'm a big podcast listener in the world. I do think this is right now the second golden age of audio. I think that audio has a really interesting ability to communicate ideas that text doesn't, because it's sort of like a personal conversation between you and me. Because I know you talk back to me, even if I can't always hear you. I know you're still talking. But this is an example that Alex Bloomberg has given, and if you follow NPR, you know who he is. He's a podcaster there who's just gone off to start up his own podcast company, which is sort of what's gotten me thinking about this. Alex Bloomberg's example of why audio is so effective is that in a movie, if you see a person making cookies, standing at the counter making cookies, the director and the cinematographer and the lighting people have all gone together to create what it looks like. But if I tell you a story on the radio, and I tell you that yesterday I was standing at my work counter, which is really a piece of kitchen counter with legs on it, and I was making up the nutmeg cookies that I'm putting in the treat box, and I tell you that I was wearing an apron, and we stop right there. If we ask you now, what color is my hair? What color is the apron? What does the room look like? How big is the work table? Is the space clean or messy? You've already created your own version of this. And so then everything I tell you after that is personal to you, because you're the one who made the movie in your head just by somebody providing you with a really basic skeleton of the language. Does that make sense? And so I think that audio has a really important place in sober stuff, because it's sort of one-on-one. It's me talking to you. It's not me doing a radio show, because a radio show is broadcasting. You're casting your net broad. You are talking to a whole bunch of people. Whereas podcasts, to me at least, are individual. It's talking to a person, and that multiple people listen. It's still me and you, and then it's me and you, and then it's me and you. And so And when I do group calls, when I do a call where it's more presentation mode and I have an audience of 10 or 20 people on the line, the dynamic and the enthusiasm and the intimacy of the call is lost. And I do group calls periodically, because I think they're important for people to be able to call in and realize that they're not alone and to feel heard. But I also know that the one-on-oneness gets diluted in those environments. On the other hand, if I do an interview where it's just me and one other person, then it's sort of like you're on my shoulder or you're standing behind me while I ask the questions, and I try to ask questions, not only questions that I would like the answer to, but that I think that you would like to ask. Like if you were in front of Ellie and you had a chance to interview her, which is part of the interview series that I just completed, when I got to the end of it, I thought, should I or shouldn't I ask her about her marriage? But I thought, you know what, if I was listening, that's a question that I would want to ask. And so I did ask her for you, because I realized that if I was listening, I wouldn't want an interviewer who walked around the more difficult or sensitive or sad subjects and didn't come right up to them and ask the questions. Okay, so then the part going forward is this. Does it make sense for this podcast to be free with sponsors or to continue to be paid by listeners? I understand that it's possible to reach a wider audience of people if it's free. I have a slight bias, I guess, and I'm not asking for you to confirm my bias. I am asking for your opinion, but let me present to you what I think are both sides. If the podcast is on iTunes, then thousands of people can subscribe, although that doesn't mean that thousands of people listen. But people can subscribe to it who, it's even more anonymous than my blog or my email list because I never know who subscribes. I have no information on who the subscribers are. It's even really difficult through iTunes to get a number of how many people are subscribing. And then usually what people do when they put a podcast up on iTunes is they get a sponsor or an advertiser. The other side is to have a paid model, which is what I have now, which is the podcasts are available for a relatively low price to monthly subscribers. Like if you pay $13 a month, you might get 6, 7, 8 audios. Or more. It really depends on the month. Obviously, some of them are longer. Sometimes they're an hour. Sometimes I divide them into sections. You know, I think it all sort of washes out in the end. At least I believe it does. And then people can purchase individual podcasts afterwards if they want to. Obviously, you have done that perhaps. And what am I trying to say here? And then it's entirely sponsored by the people who are listening. As I go forward with this website and the podcasts, and I have so many great ideas for new podcasts, and I have things that I want to write about on the blog, and as Team 100, you know, the people signing up to do the 100-day challenge and have a pen pal, which is all of the free part of the site, it's all of the stuff that I provide all the time that's not revenue-generating and isn't intended to be. What I'm realizing now is that my job number one is getting squished out because I have 3 jobs and I've had job number one since 1988. And I'm okay with job number one getting squeezed out because there's more and more sober stuff to do. But I have to make some kind of hideous decisions about how that gets financed. And I mean, I think there's lots of possibilities, right? You put up a podcast and you ask for donations and you just see what happens. You put up a podcast and you make it paid and you accept that your numbers will be lower, but that perhaps your revenue is higher. I mean, I don't know. I haven't tested all this, so I don't really know. My personal bias is that I don't like advertising. You may notice on my site on WordPress that I have paid per year to have the advertising removed because it's a feature in a WordPress blog that advertising is automatic. And I pay extra to have that turned off. I don't want advertising on my site. I don't want to sell your eyeballs to some other third-person party that I can't control. And maybe this is about control. Maybe this is like the perfect environment to have a conversation about sobriety and control. But if I had a podcast that was free and then I'd had a subscriber or a sponsor or two, of course I get to choose who the sponsor is. Of course. But to listen to a series of this podcast is brought to you today by MailChimp, which could easily be one of my sponsors because I do use MailChimp and they're not paying me to say this. And I don't know, like, are all of MailChimp's philosophies compatible with a sober world? And would I have to examine that? And I mean, clearly, clearly, like, you wouldn't be dumb enough to have a smoking company advertising on a health food channel, and you wouldn't have, you know, an entertainment portable drink company advertising on a sober podcast. Like, clearly, obviously, I get to pick companies that would match my values, but I have an innate resistance to that kind of corporatization of the world, not just of my site, but I'm against it. Which means that, in some ways, I think it means that my business ideas will always be small, because I'm against some of the things that make businesses big. And while I am torn a little bit, because I have the job number one, I'm doing less and less of it, so then clearly it's earning less and less revenue. And I could maybe, I don't even know if it's possible, but maybe supplement some of that with the sober site. Which isn't to say that the sober site doesn't already generate some revenue, because it does. It would be to how to change the focus so that job number one doesn't pay the brunt of paying my rent, but that the sober stuff might. And provide me with the time so that I don't have to be doing other things, so that I can be here answering emails and recording podcasts and having photography challenges and sending out treat boxes and writing letters and doing live calls and doing coaching calls and stuff, helping other people figure out how to get more traffic to their sober blogs. I answer that question pretty often. Helping people figure out how to leave a comment on a blog, because that's not intuitive to everybody. Helping people figure out how to download MP3 files. Am I asking a question here? Maybe I'm having a riff about control and sobriety, and maybe I need to give up control, and maybe I need to stay small so that I can do it myself, and maybe I'm thinking out loud because sometimes I think that I talk to myself when I talk to you. And maybe you don't agree that audio is a good vehicle, is a great vehicle. And maybe you only subscribe to the podcast because you use it as a buffer between you and Wolfie, and you really don't give a shit how that happens. It could be anything. I could send you soap and say, if you wash your hands with this soap, it's anti-Wolfie soap, and, you know, you'd think you'd do that. I mean, maybe there's some kind of magic realism going on here where if you listen to an audio, then Wolfie goes away. I'm okay with that, by the way. I think it's probably true. As I get to the end of this, of course, I realize I don't actually know what I'm trying to say. But if you have some ideas, I would really like to hear them. I'd like to hear your ideas about advertising in general. I'd like to hear your ideas about sponsorship, about growth, about... I mean, the other option, which I didn't say, the other option is that I keep everything exactly the same as it is now, but that I scale back a bit on how many emails I answer and how many people I take into Team 100, so that I can let my job number one, you know, flow back in again and provide more revenue. Like, I don't have to make revenue from the sober world. I don't have to at all. Up to now, I have been letting my life, since I got sober, I have been letting my life happen without trying to push anything to occur. And so every so often then, because I have no roadmap and I don't actually know what I'm doing, every so often I come up against, it's not even a Y in the road, but I come to an intersection and there's five possible ways to go. And I have to stand here and think a little bit, because all five options are fine and all five options are good. And I'm sort of sitting here trying to figure out what I might do next. And I thought it would make sense to ask you. You're either a podcast subscriber or you're a reader of my blog who's clicked on a link to say, listen to this. And you maybe have an opinion about this. Do you have something you'd like to share with me? You can hit reply to an email. You can post a comment on a blog. You can record a voice message on your iPhone app and then send it to me as an email. You can write a song. You can write a poem. I don't care. However you'd like to communicate with me, I'd be happy to hear from you. I'm not going to do anything suddenly. I am actually. Look, I'm evolving. I'm actually asking for feedback before I go madly off in all directions. And let's leave it there for today. And I look forward to hearing back from you. Okay, goodbye!